We're going to talk more about the upcoming primary election. Ballots are out, and you have until 8 p.m. on Tuesday, August 2nd, to return yours. In Seattle, voters are being asked to decide the future of the city's waterfront. It's called Initiative 123. A yes vote means the city will build a mile-long, car-free, elevated park along Alaskan Way. It will preserve a 400-foot chunk of the viaduct and those much-loved views of Elliott Bay and the Olympic Mountains. Opponents say it will kill plans that are already underway for the waterfront, plans they've been working on for years. So to help you decide how to vote, we brought in Kate Martin to argue for Initiative 123 and Patrick Gordon to make the case against it. We started with Kate Martin.
I-123 is a way to improve the downtown waterfront plan by adding a component that just changes everything for the better. It's integrating a mile-long elevated park on a brand-new garden bridge into the plan so that we can have a glorious open space with panoramic 360-degree views for all to enjoy forever.
And how does this involve the viaduct?
The view from the viaduct is the inspiration, although it's not really a part of the plan. We did a feasibility study in 2014. Borough Happel did that and determined that the best way to go about this was a brand-new garden bridge, although we keep a little sliver of the viaduct so that we have a story to tell and a glimpse of the past.
All right, what is a garden bridge? I mean, how could you just paint a picture? What would this look like?
It would be a park that's elevated is basically what a garden bridge is. It would be just a lovely, verdant place with no cars, very accessible flat park with a grand gateway from Union Street downtown. And it would be a place like Green Lake or Seward Park where we go to meet with our friends, walk and talk, gather with friends and family, get some exercise, walk the dog, ride your bike, and enjoy those fabulous views that we've enjoyed for 60 years.
All right. So, Patrick, you are part of the No on I-123 campaign. What do you not like about this idea?
Well, I have a number of things I don't like about it. The first of which is it ignores what has been a 15-year effort on the part of a lot of us. And, you know, in what is, I think, one of the really unusual circumstances in politics in this community is that the state, the county, the city, the port, private business, different interest groups got together and forged an agreement for the waterfront that both accommodated a necessity of replacing Highway 99, accommodating north-south traffic along Alaskan Way, providing an opportunity for the city to come in and rebuild the seawall and to create a park. So it's been a very long process. It's been a long process that involved thousands of people, literally, hundreds of meetings. So my big objection is that after all of this work, after millions of dollars of money that has been spent developing a spectacular plan, that this initiative comes along, poorly written, that opens the checkbook of the city's general fund for a plan that doesn't exist to now alter our course and, I think, scuttle the entire plan that's been so long in the making.
So, Kate, what do you say in response to that? This has been a multi-year process, hundreds of hours of planning, probably millions of dollars spent on the planning as well. A really complex project with the viaduct going down, the tunnel, everything, the seawall. How can you come in at the last minute and sort of change things up like this? Isn't that a sort of a dangerous proposition?
The dangerous proposition is to keep moving forward on the SDOT plan. It has about 10 major glitches in it that we should never build. This is our opportunity to pivot to a plan that has public benefit, adds tremendous beauty and value, will attract people year-round. It's not a commercial space. It doesn't have ferry traffic cutting through it. It doesn't have service driveways cutting through it. It doesn't have any of the noise. Most of the really great things about the SDOT plan remain, but the problematic things are improved. Our best asset down there is the fabulous view that's available at 55 feet above Alaskan Way. So by elevating the park, we're putting our best feature forward, and we are creating something for downtown that will pay us back in spades. These are not spaces that are going to get neglected and fall into disrepair and not really be programmed or used. This is the kind of space that will naturally attract users, visitors, locals. Everyone will flock there because it will be the greatest thing that ever happened to our downtown. But no one has been able to identify a public benefit for the people of Seattle in the SDOT plan.
So it sounds like Kate not only likes the elevated walkway, but doesn't like your plan that you guys have come up with.
I would agree with the fact that it sounds like she doesn't. All of the attributes that Kate went on about exist in the plan. And you can be pragmatic about it and say, you know, the operations and her concern that people won't go there. We have spent years talking about the programming, planning, operations, maintenance of the plan. There is a budget in place to do that. We have talked at length about an art plan that goes into it. We have talked at length about funding and have a plan in place and isn't being implemented as we talk. We have, obviously, the design, all with public input. She talked about downtown will love it. Downtown will love the fact that the wall between downtown and its waterfront is gone, and they've said so. DSA is a major supporter of the waterfront and in opposition to 123. The AIA has spent years studying the waterfront and the opportunities, opposes 123. The Stranger, the Times, we've got a coalition of folks that you would never see together normally coming at it and supporting the no on 123 plan because, in fact, it does have significant public engagement behind it. It has thousands of hours of engagement and it has millions of dollars of design that have gone into it.
So I want to just say that tremendous outreach does not equal wonderful outcomes on a project. It's part of the process that has to happen. Let me just break this down a little bit. The conventional wisdom that says when we take that viaduct down, we're going to get ourselves a world-class waterfront is just not true. It's not Alki down there. We're talking about not a water's edge. We're talking about touristy buildings on the piers where there is no water's edge and an incredibly busy roadway that is going to get busier and busier when that tunnel is built and the viaduct comes down. It's just not the kind of context you would build off of. We'll still have a great boardwalk along the piers. That'll be fun for people that want to feed seagulls French fries or buy shrunken heads at the Ye Olde Curiosity Shop. They can still do that. But to have a glorious open space that has none of that commercial aspect to it. And additionally, this park is going to be perfectly flat and accessible to all users. What we're offered in the SDOT plan is the freight route promenade and a very, very, very long viewing ramp from the market to Alaskan Way that so many people will not be able to use. You just have to have a space where everybody is welcome to it and everybody is welcome to a very flat park where we can literally play. It's not a place where we go visit a view. It's a place that we just go use and we use it again and we use it again, just like we do these other fabulous promenades in Seattle.
Patrick, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, where do I start? A couple of things. Kate mentioned that every city in the world is looking at building elevated structures. I would direct you to shoreline and waterfront parks. You know, go to San Francisco, go to Montreal, go to Toronto. There's so many places, Baltimore, where cities have basically reclaimed their waterfronts that had the imposition of kind of the post-industrial transportation systems put on top of those. So Seattle is late in coming to the game on this, but we're going to reclaim that magical threshold between the downtown and the waterfront. From the standpoint of thinking about, you know, the flat, inaccessible park, one of the things that we set out early on in developing the guiding principles for the park was that it was going to be a waterfront for all. And all includes making it a genuine waterfront, a working waterfront, accommodating both people who live, work, play on the waterfront with people who have to use it for commerce, for people who have to use it for transportation, all of which brings activity to the waterfront and brings vibrancy and doesn't require somebody to go up onto an elevated deck and have the one experience that they can get, which is the view, and miss all of the other experiences that happen along the waterfront, mixing with people and enjoying everything from the day-to-day activities to the tourist activities. So, you know, I think it's a fundamental difference between a view and an experience. And what we're offering is a park that is full of the experiences.
People already have their ballots in hand. They're probably filling them out this week. Given that a lot of people aren't really paying very close attention. What's your final argument to voters right now about why this should be a yes on I-123 or a no? Kate, why don't we start with you?
This is our 100-year gesture. The 15 years ago, when these interests got together and made their plan ideas, elevated parks had not really come onto the stage. We know too much at this point to ignore that we would have the most fabulous elevated park in the world. It would change our city and give us a romantic edge and a place for the people to enjoy forever. This is our chance. It doesn't cost more. It's still a City of Seattle project. It's a plan improvement that we must make to bring this wonderful asset, this wonderful elevated park to our city.
Patrick?
I would ask people to go to waterfrontseattle.org and look at the plan that's in there and compare it to Kate's plan, if it exists, because it doesn't exist within the ordinance or within the website that they have, and compare the opportunities that exist. And we talk about a 100-year plan. This is a city-changing opportunity that is a product of a tremendous amount of collaboration between a huge variety of interest groups and stakeholders and public input. The idea that an elevated park on a waterfront is a tremendous space is pure folly. We talk a lot about the High Line. I love the High Line. Jim Corner, who designed the High Line, is the designer of the Central Waterfront Plan for Seattle. The High Line is in a different context completely. It winds its way through what was a very troubled neighborhood, not near the water, not on the waterfront. It is virtually the inverse of the Seattle waterfront opportunity that we have, which is to take down the structure and engage the waterfront at the street level. So go to the website, look at the plan, and see if all of the wonderful things that Kate describes to hers don't really exist in our plan.
That's Patrick Gordon. He's an architect with the No on I-123 campaign. We also heard from Kate Martin. She's a city planner and the author of the Yes on I-123 campaign. They were talking about whether or not Seattle should have an elevated park along its downtown waterfront. Seattle voters get to vote on that, and ballots are due August 2nd.